Hey, Mujer, it's Micaela, host of the Fearless Mujer podcast. What is the Fearless Mujer? It is a space for the mujer who ever felt rejected, misunderstood, and without a seat at the table. If you are ready to renew your mindset, let go of old versions that no longer serve you, and you're ready to be inspired to fearlessly pursue the dreams on your heart, then I invite you for a virtual cup of cafecito. You can listen to the Fearless Mujer on Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio, and wherever you podcast.
What's good, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Scaredy Cats podcast. Like always, we are your hosts, Soy and Liz. And if you're new here and are interested in true crime, the paranormal, and any other scary stories, make sure you guys add us to your favorites and turn on those notifications so you get notified every Wednesday when we drop a brand new episode.
Then we also review the latest scary movies. And if you have any stories you'd like us to talk about, please feel free to send those requests in on any of our social media pages at Scaredy Cats, and that's Scaredy Cats with a K. Today's episode is going to be a little bit different. So we will be diving into the true story of Mexico's first lady serial killer. And yes, just saying that gives me the chills. She was known as Mata Viejitas, but before we dive in, we will be starting our murder mystery series in the beginning of our episode. We will be having the host of Sipping Tea with Joey and Marie to join us every Monday for our murder mystery series. So, Sipping Tea with Joey and Marie, are you guys ready to join the Scaredy Cats on this murder mystery Monday?
Yes, we are.
Oh, we're ready like spaghetti.
Introduce yourselves a little bit for our followers so they can know who you are.
Well, hello, everyone. My name is Aaliyah Marie, and this is
Joey Bravo.
And we host a podcast. It's a pop culture podcast known as Sipping Tea with Joey Marie, where we talk about pop culture, music, and movie recommendations, and we occasionally have special guests.
Yes, we do. And I am a radio personality on 92.7 The Music Monster. Aaliyah Marie is a very talented young lady, works for the College of Southern Idaho.
That I do.
And I'm being very calm because I'm trying to go with the flow of the Scaredy Cats podcast.
It's actually crazy because this is our first guest on our podcast, because we haven't had any like other people come on, just because we don't have like a big setup. So this is cool.
Ooh, yeah.
This is
our first
guest. And not only that, guys, our podcast did just turn a year like a couple days ago. Yeah. So it's kind of like the good way to start off for like the whole year of having the podcast.
Congrats.
Do you guys want to let them know what days you guys post your podcast episodes so they can tune in?
Yeah, so we post every Monday, typically by 10 a.m. on all podcast platforms. If you have Spotify, Pandora, just kind of anything that you listen to music based, that's where you'll find it.
Yeah. Also, if you want to listen to it earlier, it actually drops on Spotify a lot earlier than all the other streaming platforms.
Yeah. The best way to do it is if you actually like and subscribe to our show on Spotify, it will alert you immediately as soon as that gets released.
Yeah. Awesome. So do that.
Definitely tune in, follow them on all their platforms, but let's just jump right into it. So this series will revolve around the newest season of Only Murders in the Building. We're going to be, you know, kind of detective mode, so try to figure out who the murder is. And let's just say there's only like 3 episodes, right? I think that are out, and I think we have a solid idea of who it could be.
So guys, if you're not familiar with this show, it's actually a very popular murder mystery show on Hulu starring Selena Gomez, Steve Martin, and Martin Short. This is the 3rd season, and guys, this show is definitely a binge-worthy show. If you haven't seen it, definitely watch the last 2 seasons so you can join us on this journey. But who do you guys think could be the killer, and why?
Well, I'm gonna tell you straight up, right off of watching this show, and you're probably going to think the same thing, and there's going to be spoilers in here, so just so you know, this is for all the people that are watching Murders in the Building currently right now. But I straight off the bat thought Mabel was the one. I just was already thinking, man, Mabel's acting really shady in this episode, on these first episode, and I was thinking like, what's up with her, you know? Yeah. Although she's like a super fan of the character that Paul Rudd is playing.
Yeah, which is Ben Gilroy.
Yeah, and so I thought to myself, there's something up with Selena. I mean, or Mabel.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
Right?
And there's like certain parts too, like when she was like getting, like when she started taking pictures of when he had, you know,
passed
someone
away,
killed
him.
Yeah, like she started taking pictures of him. I'm like, huh, she's a little weird about it. She got a little excited, you know?
Well, the weird thing about it was that it's almost like she was in a rut. Like everybody's like, you know, flourishing and doing their thing, like the two guys, you know, her homies. And she's over here like in a rut, and she's like, we need this podcast back. Like she needed it back. Okay. So it almost felt like she purposely did something to somebody.
She could have easily actually did, like she must have at least started something and then realized that she was going a little crazy, and then someone took over. Because, I mean, there is this cast that, you know, Martin Short, he's putting together this, like, Broadway at this point now, and there's multiple people that, you know, all didn't like Paul Rudd's character. Like, everyone had some kind of anger towards them. But I just think with Selena Gomez's character, with her, I just think that she was, like, really getting to her head, but I think she stopped herself from letting it get the best out of her.
Yeah, that's very well possible. Maybe that's why she was acting trippy like that, huh?
You know who I thought about? And I started thinking about it more the more I looked at, like, the characters. So they show, like, everyone kind of what their, you know, what their motive would be if any of them did kill Paul Rudd's character. But the one person that they only showed one time in the very beginning was Brazzo's girlfriend, which is Joy.
Right. Joy was in there.
And so they like, end up getting together the last season because she was doing his makeup for so long when he was on the Brazzo show. But I've noticed that was the only time I saw her, and that was it. Because everyone else, like, yeah, there might be a modem to as to why they didn't like, you know, Ben, but she's the only one who hasn't came back after that first episode.
True. Well, that does make sense because Brazzo's, well, you know, Charles Savage. Character didn't like Paul Rudd's character. Mm. So they were having some beef, so maybe she was, like, stepping up for her man. Ooh, that does make sense. That could happen.
The thing about that show is that they make everybody, like, a little bit suspicious. Like you said, I thought it was Mabel, and then afterwards, like, other people start acting, like, suspicious. Like, what's that other, it starts with the K, the TikToker or something like that.
Kimmy.
Yeah, she was acting very weird the last, like, episode.
Yeah, and she was. Yeah, right, because it makes you think. It makes you think it's Meryl Streep's character, Loretta Durkin.
And I think it is her because, like, we were actually, like, brainstorming this, right? So you know how, like, he had his brother. I think his name was, like, what was his brother's name? That was his manager.
I'm trying to remember his name.
Yeah, so him and Meryl Streep. I feel like it could have been them two working together because, you know, like, now, like, he's helping, like, manage her and she got onto the scene. And, like, what if, like, you know, and how he said, like, I can smell a snake when I see it or something like that when he told her that.
That's
so, like,
very
I
true.
Feel like maybe it is her. But, I have my money on those two.
But
though.
Also keep in mind too, this last episode that came out, Mabel had found footage of Paul Rudd's character Ben talking to someone, saying that he doesn't want anyone to know about the relationship and that he doesn't know why they're there. And so with that being said, it might not be a female that tried killing him, but possibly a male.
Well, that's what I mean. How you were saying that it could be her, right? Mm-hmm. But I think now that the brother is managing Meryl Streep's character, that's, I think, where the connection is at. I think it could be two people working together, and it could be the brother that was talking to him in the video.
Oh, and they could have got together. Yeah. Well, they both must love someone at the same time.
Because now they're all chummy, though. Now they're all chummy. The brother and the Meryl Streep character, now he's managing her, and they're like, you know what I mean? And it's, like, kind of weird.
Yeah, and you know that one scene where, like, Selena Gomez and the camera guy go into, like, the apartment? I was kind of thinking, like, what if he had seen them already going in there and he knew they were in there, so he put on this whole show that, like, oh, like, I'm so upset and, like, threw everything just so they can, you know, like, it can keep just it, like, yeah, throw him off the scent. Yeah, exactly. So that's where I'm putting my money on, those two.
I definitely do think it's the lady and then the brother, because if you think about it, he started managing her, like super
really quick,
quick,
huh? Really quick. Like, his brother wasn't even buried yet, and he was like, yeah, I'm managing her.
Yeah, and then she somehow got a gig that she had to move away from where she was living at, so they were both gonna leave.
And
so,
well, then too, then it's already, like, the plot twist was the fact that we thought Ben was dead the first time, and then
that was funny.
Well, that was brilliant because you think to yourself, the show's called Only Murders in This Building, so even they were joking at it, going like, well, at least this didn't happen in the building, and then all of a sudden he's alive.
Because, well, that was the irony.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, like, wait, so this guy's not dead, then who's the guy that's gonna get killed? And so that to me was really cool how they did that twist where he ends up dying actually in the building after he was gonna get killed the first time. So it's definitely, I think it's gotta be a team of two this time.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That makes sense to me. Yeah. That is so far what we're thinking, our little theories on who could be the murderer of this, you know, latest season of Only Murders in the Building. Stay tuned because this is going to be posted every Monday for the next few weeks. It's going to be Murder Mystery Mondays, guys. So we're just going to try to figure out who the killer is before the season ends. And if you guys want to join us on this journey, tune in every Monday.
Make sure you hit up the Scaredy Cats podcast and give us your theories on what is happening here. Or hit us up, Sip and Tea with Joey and Marie as well.
So now with all that being said, let's just dive into the bone-chilling story of Mata Viejitas. Just by saying the name, I already got the chills. And, like, obviously, if you guys don't know what Mata Viejitas means, it means old lady killer. And I feel like saying it in English, it sounds even more like...
Sounds scary.
Well, when you say it in Spanish, it's almost like you're calling for Bloody Mary.
Yeah.
It's just messed up all around.
It is. It really is. So, yeah, guys, let's just begin. So, Juana Semparia was born on December 27, 1957 in Hidalgo, Mexico. Unfortunately, her childhood was pretty rough because when she was young, her mom reportedly pimped her to a man for 3 beers. This man sexually abused her various times, and then he impregnated her, where then she had had her first son. So obviously she had a lot of trauma, and this poor lady, like, the mom really traded her in for 3 beers. Like, that's just, it's such a terrible thing. But when her mother passed away, she then moved to Mexico City, where she went through several marriages and a total of 4 children. A tragic incident occurred with their eldest son, where he passed away in a mugging. So Juana's personal life spiraled, and it was definitely kind of like rocky from there. And I believe, what if my like sources are right, he was 24 years old, and it was either through like a gang war or a mugging. So I couldn't really like understand it, which one, like how he passed away, but it's all tragic all around.
Fast forwarding to her career life in the 1980s through 1990s, she had a few different jobs where she then became a professional wrestler known as La Dama del Silencio, which is like
the Lady of Silence.
The Lady of Silence. But this career wasn't enough for her to support herself as well as her family. So by her 4th child, she fell into the life of burglary. In 1995, her and her accomplice created this plan to steal from the elderly, and they pretended to be nurses in order to gain access into their home. That's messed up.
And I know like a lot of like at the time, like a lot of people were like, you know, warning like the older people and stuff like that. But it's like, how can you like do that? And like, she would like dress up like a nurse or sometimes a social worker.
So this
like,
wrestler lady is the one who's accused of being the Mata Viejitas.
So she actually was.
Oh, yeah. She was.
This is the one who did it.
So how were they able, like, did they like charge her for it?
So we'll get in more into that because it's pretty intense. Like the story just kind of like worsens, and you'll kind of understand like why she did this and like the like her motive. Ugh, I don't know. This story is like a lot.
But that's crazy, from her like becoming a wrestler to doing that.
Yeah. See, like when she would the way she'd kill her victims, she'd strangle them. And you know, she was a wrestler, so she obviously learned how to like adapt to that kind of strength.
Yay.
So at the time the cops actually were thinking that it was a male, but they didn't know it was a female the whole time.
Whoa, you wouldn't imagine a female wrestler killing these people.
Yeah, that doesn't even make sense. I mean, yeah. They're just all, it's all for play, right? Yeah, it's all for fun in a sense. But wow.
Yeah, the crazy thing is that she was actually blackmailed by her own partner in crime, who was dating a corrupt federal police officer at the time. Her friend's boyfriend demanded for her to give them 12,000 pesos and they wouldn't arrest her.
And I'm sure in Mexico, like, there's a lot of corrupt officers, but the fact that, like, he just was like, hey, I'm not going to tell, but you had to give me 12,000 pesos. Like,
just let them go on killing people?
Well, at the time, she wasn't killing just yet. So this was just a burglary. She started off as stealing because she wasn't making enough money, you know? So, like, she's like, okay, we're going to start going into these people's homes. And obviously, like, the elderly, she saw them as the most vulnerable. So that's why she kind of chose them to be the victim. So by 1998, brutal murders of elderly people in Mexico City began to increase, and the media created the name Mata Viejitas. But like I had mentioned, people did believe that they had the idea that these murders were done by a male, especially how the killing seemed to have been done by the person with massive strength. And even the detectives ruled out the idea of it being a female. So they had kind of like thought that the person who was doing the killings was a man dressed in women's clothing. So they were basically imprisoning random people who fit the description at the time. So they just started arresting a bunch of people and were like, okay, like,
so cross dressers were in trouble.
Yeah,
in
basically
a sense.
It was like, you know, male prostitutes that they started like kind of like going after during this time. So And I know like during this story, a lot of people were angry because it took them so long to catch her because they ruled out that it could ever be a female. They just knew like, okay, this is going to be the work of a male.
Wow. So, when does it take place? Like what year?
And so in the 1990s originally started, and then it went on to the, you know, 2000s.
So they just couldn't believe, they couldn't fathom that it was a female that could be doing this. That's just ridiculous.
And if you guys see like the picture of Juana, she looks like a tiny lady. Like it doesn't look like she could even like.
Well, and I think to myself, yeah, like even though like everything was pointing out to a male perspective, like they, as police officers, you shouldn't rule out females couldn't be the case.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, you should always be able to check for anyone for that matter, because you just can't like automatically, oh, they're strong, okay, it's a man.
Yeah.
Like, apparently this woman was strong enough to do what she did.
Exactly. I've met strong women. I work at CrossFit. And I'll tell you what, there's women that are like double the strength of me. So,
like we said, one of the first known victims was Maria Anaya. And on November 25th, 2002, Juana knocked on her door posing as a social worker. She then welcomed her into her home, and she was brutally beaten to death as well as strangled. And when police officials arrived at her home, it was a mess, and she even robbed her cold.
She would kill these ladies and she'd just rob them, and she'd take all their belongings and stuff like that. Like,
so she would kill them first and then rob them.
Yep.
That's just brutal.
Yeah.
Messed up.
Reminds me of how you said you lived through it, like the Night Stalker. He would do that. He would like go into people's houses, murder them, and then just.
What was
rob
a little kid
everything.
When that happened? And it was I was kind of like our boogeyman. So we lived in down in that area, and so when we were hearing about this guy, like they would tell you better go inside or the Night Stalker is gonna get you. Like people would even say that. You'd be like freaking out. And then when I was older, because I was talking to Liz earlier, is that I also lived through Jeffrey Dahmer. So, but then I was older by that time, so I could really understand why this was happening. And to me, it was so like grotesque and so like unimaginable that somebody could do something like that. So when the show came out all these years later, I was like, there's no way I want to relive that torture. Like, that is just freaky. Like, that's some scary stuff right there.
The scary thing is that all these, like you said, Jeffrey Dahmer, the Night Stalker, Ted Bundy, they were all like doing what they were doing in that same like decade, the 1990s.
It's because there wasn't the technology that we have now. So, and there's like DNA type process, you know, things like that, especially as far as, you know, Big Brother, you know, being able to watch over us in so many different ways. Yeah. Like now it's a lot. I mean, I'm not even saying it's easy, but it is easier than it was in that time frame. Yeah. So it's almost like it was the decade of the serial killers.
Yeah, it was, you know, it's it was scary. Weird. But her reason was later said that Maria had made derogatory comments to Juana once during a burglary, which made her mad. A lot of her anger was theorized that it was from built trauma from her mother, and that could have been why she was targeting older ladies.
And after this murder, the press was all over the story, which made people think this began to kind of like inspire her to keep killing. So her next victims pretty much went the same way. She would pose as a social worker or a nurse, then they would welcome them into her homes, and she would just strangle and beat them as well as steal from their homes. The fingerprints started to pile up as well as the body, so this is when the authorities started to take things more seriously and finally knew that they had a serial killer on their hands.
Fast forwarding to 14 murders by 2004, all the deaths were from strangulation by hand or with a belt. So the authorities grew frustrated and hired someone with psychological knowledge, and they compared the case to others in the past, so they helped them go about solving this case, and by comparing Mata Viejitas to other serial killers.
And there was like a guy, I can't quite remember his name, but I guess his case was pretty much similar to what she would do. He would go in and like murder like elderly people and stuff like that because they were vulnerable. But what I thought was pretty messed up is, you know, like she would dress up as a nurse and stuff. She'd have like the stethoscope. Sometimes she'd strangle him with the stethoscope. So like there was a lady, she'd like sit on the chair and just go from behind him. Like she's like, oh, I'm just like looking around for something. And then she'd go from behind him, just like start doing that whole thing. So I'm like, this lady was just like brutal. And like they had said, like obviously like she had went through so much when she was a kid, but that's not an excuse for what she's doing now.
Yeah, it sounds like a horrible, scary movie.
Yeah, and there's actually a documentary on Netflix of it right now, and I haven't watched it yet, but yeah, it's up on Netflix. But and I actually heard about this story through our mom, you know, because she told me, she's like, hey, you guys need to do this story on her. I'm like, I've never heard of her. So once I started looking into her, like last night I stayed up to like 1 doing, I was getting creeped out. I was like, man. But at this point she was just killing relentlessly, so the public lost hope because for one, they dismissed the possibility of the killer being a woman, and they were only steering towards men pretty much. It's kind of on them for as long as it took, because it started in 1995, 1998, and then it went on to 2002, and by 2002 she killed 14 people. Damn. And they said 14 people that they knew of, so they don't know how much more she killed. Yeah, but they were pretty much wasting time at this point. So by June 29th, 2005, victim Maria Almanza heard a knock at the door. And what's crazy is a lot of her victims were named Maria. Almost every victim she had was named Maria. So I don't think I remember reading the name of her mom, but I'm wondering if she chose Maria because of that, or
and
was
that
just,
anger was towards.
Yeah, so they Juana posted herself as a nurse, and she said that she was there for a health checkup. So she took the stethoscope and wrapped it around Maria's neck until she stopped moving. This was then her 30th victim.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, just to say, not to drop a joke, but I mean, there's a lot of Mexican Marias.
Marias,
I mean,
yeah.
My mom's Maria, your mom's mom is Maria.
Yeah.
Aaliyah's Aaliyah Maria.
Yeah.
A lot of Marias. Ay, Maria.
Yeah.
Now, finally, on September 2005, Maria Miguel, the mother of a well-known criminologist, was a victim to the Mata Viejita scheme. After she killed her son Luis Miguel, who was a famous criminologist, launched an operation where they would pinpoint the areas where the killings mostly occurred. They sent out cops to secure the area and keep an eye out for Juana, as well as lay out bait for the killer. This is when they started to pick up male sex workers off the streets and take their fingerprints.
Just her luck, like she really killed the mom of a criminologist. And this criminologist was like a really well-known one. And I can't quite remember if he was actually working on the case at the time. But after that, he was like, okay, like this has, this has to stop.
I thought you were going
to
say Luis Miguel the singer. I was like, what?
It's like turns to Luis Miguel.
I didn't know that. So this lady killed for about a decade.
Yeah,
for over a decade.
She killed for a long time.
Wow.
Well, then, like you said, that's only the amount from what they knew. Like, I honestly think there would have been more.
Well, I know at the end, like someone said, like there could have been an estimate of 160 people that she killed.
Yeah, no, wow. I would believe it. Yeah,
and so she was just kind of killing like left to right and like back to back. And while all of this was happening, she was still killing. And by October 2005, one of her last few victims, she strangled her with a scarf. And suddenly after this, she was silent for 3 months. So she stopped stopped killing for 3 months, and the authorities thought that maybe she committed suicide or maybe the killer was in prison for another crime. And that's when they're kind of like, oh, like, you know, what's happening? Is she planning like some kind of other plan to go like somewhere else to kill more people? Is she gonna move? So like nobody knew what was happening in those 3 months, and I think the thought of not knowing is what kind of like frustrated like the authorities even more, and everybody was just like growing even more scared. So like the fear was definitely there, and like honestly, if I was living there at the time, I'd lock every single door, and I don't think I could even sleep at night.
Was she still wrestling at the moment?
She actually had retired from wrestling a little bit after I think one of the few burglaries or something like that. If I remember, I can't quite remember. Like from the sources I pulled, I think she retired.
Wow, so wouldn't it be creepy to see like videos of her wrestling now?
Well, like, I know there's a picture of her like in a pink suit and she has like the mask and everything. She looks weird, but yikes. I do know that she might have. I think she retired because she wasn't making enough money, so that's why she started to, you know, rob people more, because she needed money enough to support her other four kids, because she was a single mom. You know, she was a single mom working.
She was
Mexico.
A mom, and then she was killing all these. Yeah, youths. So, that's messed up.
And I do know. I try to find more information on her kids. I couldn't find that much, so the kids kind of went into like hiding almost, I think. I really don't know.
Shoot, I would disown her too.
Yeah, so I don't know.
But finally coming down on her official last victim, known as Ana Alfaro, I hope I'm saying that right, someone who shared the land with her had seen a suspicious person leaving her house. He then got the attention of the police patrol who was passing by. Then she made a run for it. They caught up to Juana, and finally they stumbled across the Mata Viejita, where they arrested her. That's just,
isn't that
like,
crazy? Just her luck. So she just, literally got caught because of one person. And thank God those police patrols were there, because if they weren't, who knew how long
she would have gone away.
Exactly. But they were finally relieved and surprised it was a woman. But she went on to trial, where she was charged with 30 murders. And those are the only 30 murders they can charge her with, because those were the ones where they found all her fingerprints. And she was sentenced, guess how many years? Can you guys just make a lucky guess how many
200 years.
Honestly, probably like 20 years.
Nope, 759 years in prison.
Wow.
How can a person live that long?
It's because
life in prison.
Yeah, life in prison for every kill, right?
Yeah.
So then they multiply times whatever, and then it becomes what it is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the investigators believe the reason she was killing was truly because of resentment of her mother. She even admitted, like in an interview, I think, when, you know, they were, what's that called? When they have like a person
like
in the room.
Interrogating.
Yeah, not interviewing, interrogating. So when they interrogated her, she even admitted that she carried a deep amount of hatred for older women, so she thought she was helping the communities by getting rid of the older women, and all because of her mom.
Wow.
So she thought she was some kind of vigilante.
Yeah, she thought she was helping everybody. She's like, I'm gonna get rid of
psycho.
Her, you know. So yeah, and everybody was like, she was a psycho. And like, there was comments that some of the authorities made, or like the psychological, like when they brought in that guy investigator, he was like, oh yeah, like she's pretty intelligent, she's I feel like it's weird when they say intelligent, because like, I don't know, like I feel like they're saying it because like she's so smart to not get caught.
And I think that's what it is. With somebody who got that type of personality, like honestly, their whole motion of movement is trial and error, right? Mm-hmm. So the more they do it, the more consistently they get better at doing something like that, which is a terrible thing to say. Mm-hmm. But then they become more strategic with the way they do the things they do, and that's how they start hiding their tracks and doing this, because the more they're getting away with it, the better they're getting at it. And it's like they've already crossed that threshold of, you know, of killing and taking somebody's life. So now it's like nothing anymore, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's terrible. It's freaky stuff.
Yeah. So that is basically the whole story of Mata Viejitas. I wonder what made him even like put the documentary out now.
What's a Mexican serial killer?
Yeah. So she was the first official lady Mexican serial killer. So she was like the first one, and that's obviously the first one
that they
knew
of.
They knew of, because like I'm sure like
they could have pinned it on guys and it was females this whole time.
And they were arresting like a bunch of innocent people, like all these people.
But just like the Zodiac killer, like they never caught this person.
They just wanted someone.
They wanted it to be someone. So eventually, like, they get tired of it, and they could have easily pinned it on someone and called it good.
Overall, this story was pretty crazy. How do you guys feel being on a Scaredy Cats episode with this story?
It gives me the creeps. I'm not gonna lie. I'm just kind of creeped out. I mean, every time I hear your guys' podcast, like a lot of the times I'll be listening to them, I'm like, ooh, I can't get in this mood right now. So then I stop them midway, and then I have to, because I don't listen to the full thing. Mm-hmm. I used to at first, but the more you guys have done them, the better you guys are getting at them, and the more intense they're getting. Mm-hmm. So like, I kind of like, okay, man, I start getting like the hairs in the back of my neck standing up with some of your stories. So I kind of like, I gotta chill. I'll listen to it a little bit later.
Even so, sometimes now, I don't replay certain episodes. Like, I never replayed the Jeffrey Dahmer one. That's one that I won't listen to again. Mm-hmm. Because even sitting there talking about it, and the Albert Fish one, like, when we had mentioned this one particular fact about Albert Fish.
That's
like,
one that would eat his poop, right?
Yeah.
Poop, right?
His guy's poop.
Ugh. See, Jeffrey Dahmer is the only one I've never listened to. I try to listen, like, a little bit of it when you were talking about when they were at the dinner table and his dad was, a scientist or whatever. Yeah. And then I was like, I don't think I want to listen to this no more. And I stopped. Yeah. Not because it's not good, but just because I could.
I'm just glad about the one who does the research for this. Yeah, I know. Like, when I hear these, like, short episodes, just because, like, I myself is a scaredy cat, like, they do, like, get me, like, a little freaked out. Mm-hmm. But I think to myself, I'm like, okay, at least I didn't have to deep dive into this. Like, within 10 minutes, I need the basis. Yeah. I don't really need to continue researching this.
That's why sometimes, like, he'll do most of the scripts because I get so scared and, like, by the time I have time to do it, it's in the nighttime. And some of the stories, I'm like, okay, I cannot, like, seriously do this, so I'll do it during work. But yeah, some of these stories are too much. definitely don't forget to follow Sippin' Tea with Joey Marie. Do you guys want to mention your handles?
It's either Leah Marie 208,
Joey Bravo 208,
or Sippin' Tea with Joey Marie.
Yes, guys. And like they say, they do post their episodes every Mondays.
Correct. Yes. We are on a break right now. We just finished season 5, and so we'll have a new episode on August the 28th. To start season 6.
Yes, guys, and they have a total of 5 seasons, so definitely check out all their episodes. And while you wait, like, for season 6, I think they have a lot of good episodes. So far, my favorite so far has to be the one that you guys did with Cesar Cervantes. Mm-hmm. That guy sings so good.
Right, pretty good.
So definitely check that episode out, guys.
There is one thing I wanted to do before, and I've wanted to do that ever since you guys started Scaredy Cat Podcast, is I wanted to end your show with my best Vincent Price imitation. Okay. But you guys tell me when you're ready, and then I'll finish it. How about that? Go ahead.
You can finish it off.
Okay. Thanks for listening to the Scaredy Cats podcast.
I think that's gonna be our official new ending.
we're gonna use that for the rest of our episodes. That was good.